Dann sage ich herzlich willkommen zu Folge 78 von Ordnung trifft. Heute zu Gast Jennifer Martin, and I am more than excited because I'm following you for a while now to have you in this show today because you are an inspiration in the industry and I'm very, very happy I could catch you now and you answer every questions we have. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk more.
Ordnung trifft, dein Podcast für den Blick in die Welt der Ordnung.
Perfect. So maybe how about, because we didn't talk so much before, I invited you to this show because you were recommended to me at the NAPO Summit last year as one of the PO business people that I need to talk to. Because you have the mindset, you grew a business, you have a family with four kids, I saw, which is, yes, to me, I have one kid and I'm like, what? this is incredible. So when did it all start and how did you start your business?
That is one of my favorite stories to tell. So I have always loved home organizing, but I found, and I come from a family of interior designers and also entrepreneurs. My dad and my brother are both successful small business owners. And I never thought that I really had it in me, even though there was just a little bit of an interest. But it felt very scary and daunting. And I had four kids and I was really committed to raising them and being at home with them. And thinking maybe someday down the line, I would want to do something, but not knowing what it was. But I found myself, it was the very end of 2019, with some personal financial hardship. My husband had lost his job and felt like it was the moment for me to take a leap I had been scared to take previously.
During Corona then?
Well, it was right before.
Right before. Oh right my before. God. Okay.
No idea that what was about to happen to our entire world. So yes, I created my own website, set up an Instagram account all in January of 2020. So right before things, it was February here and like beginning of March when things really started to shut down.
Yeah,
so I got a few clients before then. But I think I was really intimidated by the world of entrepreneurship and putting myself out there. I knew that I lacked some skills, like good photography skills, and didn't love Instagram just from a user standpoint. I was trying to not be on social media personally at that time. So there were some things that really intimidated me about starting a business that I knew would be important to growing a business. But I took the leap and it was amazing. Even with COVID happening, for me, it was the perfect breeding ground for my business where it was just me as a solopreneur at the very beginning. And so I was able to build my clientele slowly. There were some people that were interested in having one individual come into their home. And so I was able to do it safely and respectfully. And I was able to really hone my skills and what I was providing to them. And by the time things started to really open up about October of that year is when I started to get so busy and the jobs that I was getting were quite large and I wanted to have a faster turnaround. So that's when I started to grow a team. And then from there, things just continue to escalate and grow exponentially, really. But for those first 9-10 months, it was mostly just me going into people's homes quietly, under the radar a little bit during COVID. So that was my beginning.
What exactly is your offering to your clients?
That's a great question. So we've expanded our offerings now 4 years later, but and at the beginning, I was really trying to figure out what my market wanted and what would resonate the most with people. So at the very beginning, I offered home staging services if someone was getting ready to list their home, because I love the decorating part. And I would offer interior styling. I did a bunch of like bookshelves and just zhuzhing up homes that needed a little bit of love. And then I did the home organizing. So I would go in and I would completely organize a pantry, and I would bring in the baskets and the bins that would make it look beautiful and transform a space. And I found very quickly that the best fit for me and the fit that people were really looking for, and I was getting asked for over and over again, was the home organizing. And so by the end of that first year, I phased out the staging, and the styling offerings were known as Reset Your Nest. My company is known as one that really does provide that designer aesthetic, but we stay within our bounds of home organizing. It's okay. Home organizing with a designer aesthetic, not anything else. So
it is quite common in America that people will ask for services such as home organizing, right? I mean, there's not so many people that don't know about home organizing. Is that right? Or how would you describe it? Because I feel what most people hear, like, for example, from 100 times when you talk to people, 80 don't know what we are doing, and then 20 maybe know, but it takes a long, long, long time to actually get them as clients. And it feels when you guys in the US talk about, you know, how to get clients and how to be visible, it sounds so much easier. Or is it just, you know, how would you describe that?
Yeah, I don't know. And I guess, you know, I'm only speaking from what I know. And we have had some pioneers, Marie Kondo and then the Home Edit, who have had TV shows and, you know, created this awareness and knowledge. But I do feel, and I talk to other organizers about it all the time, I believe still, even in the United States, our biggest competitor right now is still awareness. Mm-hmm. I think that education is the biggest piece, and we are still educating people that this is a service that is available to mm-hmm. people. I think still it's just expected, you know, maybe we'll hire a landscaper and an interior designer and other professionals to come into our home and to do the things that we are not capable of doing. And yet I think that the standard or the expectation for many, typically women, because women are the ones who tend to be the caretakers and the homemakers, they're expected just to know how to do it, know how to create these organized systems and spaces in the home. So I do think we still confront that challenge a lot in our industry, especially I think I love to partner with home builders and interior designers and real estate agents. And I go to events all the time, and it takes a lot of explaining. And then oftentimes I still have to like get my way in the door and try and do a space for that home builder or for that interior designer so they can actually see it, because it still is so new that so many they don't really understand the value of what we're offering until they experience it themselves. So it's still a hurdle we're working to overcome.
So in order to educate, what would you advise our POs here to do, where you say this is by far the most effective way of becoming visible? Because a lot of people say, oh, I don't like Instagram, that's not my thing. But what you just said, for example, is to do reference projects for home builders or something like that, to, you know, show them exactly what you do, not just to go on fairs and tell them that you are there, but to actually show them. I really like that.
Yes. And I mean, that is an investment, because oftentimes I give them a big discount, or I'll even offer them free labor. They'll still mm-hmm. pay for the baskets and bins. I do think that is a great way to partner with someone and show them your commitment to proving to them your value. Mm-hmm. That has been helpful. When I do go to events where I'm speaking with people, I make sure I bring a lot of visuals with me and images of what we do in the home. Because so oftentimes, even collaborating with closet companies has been helpful. I've heard so many owners of custom closet companies say that they'll take all of their pictures of the closet once it's installed, and they don't ever want pictures of the closet once the client has put their clothing and their items back in it, because it doesn't look nice anymore.
Okay.
So I try to show the home builders, the closet companies, whatever it is, that their work, their beautiful designs, their craftsmanship will look that much better. And the client experience will therefore be that much better, because the end result is seamless. You know, it's perfect. It's beautiful from end to end, not just with the cupboards closed, but with the closet doors and cupboards open. And then, yes, I know a lot of people, I want to speak to what you said about Instagram. A lot of individuals struggle with Instagram and just say, well, I don't like it. And I was there. I mean, I still have a very love-hate relationship with it. But I do think it's amazing to have a platform where you can, that's free. I mean, except for the time that we invest in it, where we can show anyone and everyone what we do. And I think getting good at creating a message and explaining what we do, not just before and afters, I mean, that really helps, but talking about the value, speaking to your audience, and you can decide who your audience is, and it can change from day to day. But if you really want to target those real estate agents or the interior designers or the home builders, and that's your audience, you know, tell a story and explain to them how you are going to change their client's experience or how they are going to be differentiated in the market because they have a home organizer that they can refer to their clients. I mean, how many home builders have a home organizer who can help move them into their new home? Yeah. It really is such an, I shouldn't say uncommon thing, but it's a newer concept that I really believe it can elevate their offering and then also get us clients. So I do think Instagram is a great tool. And it's free because the investment of doing free spaces for those, you know, people you want to build relationships with, there are only so many of those you can do a year,
without
losing too much money. So I think both have a place.
So when you started off as a solopreneur, what was the first investment you did where you say, this is absolutely something you need to invest in as a PO?
That is a great question. Because I came from a place of hardship where my husband had lost his job, I was definitely in a scarcity mindset. And I think I paid Fiverr $5 for my logo.
Okay, you did? Oh, really?
Yes. It's changed a little bit through the years, but it's very similar to that initial logo. So I did not initially invest any money into my business. And I have some regrets about that because it took me a while to recognize this was a real business, and with real businesses, there are investments that really are worth it. I designed my own website, and I didn't even know what SEO was. I'm not sure what it is in German, but search engine optimization.
We also use SEO. Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know what that was until my website had been up for 9 months. I didn't even know what that acronym was. And so that was one of the first things I invested in. I met an incredible woman who does marketing, and I just met her at a soccer game that our daughters were at. And she explained to me what it was. And she said, let me look at your website. And that was the first time that I realized that having someone who specialized in something that I had no idea about could really propel my business forward. My SEO skyrocketed in just a few months. We became, you know, one of the number one listings for Utah, which is where I live, Utah Home Organizer, Utah Professional Organizer, Salt Lake Professional Organizer, all those keywords that I wanted to be populating for. And then the next investment I took was to invest in a bookkeeper. We all have our strengths, and me tracking the numbers and the money in order to make good decisions about what I was going to continue to invest in or not. And I had been holding so tight, thinking I couldn't spend any money, but even having a bookkeeper tell me that, no, you're doing really well, there's money in the bank, you can make these decisions and you can make these purchases, it was invaluable to me to invest in someone who really understood small businesses and money. And so I think those were my two first investments.
Thank you. And thank you for saying that, because we just this weekend had the discussion of what do I need to invest where, not just time and knowledge, but also money. And that you were saying you cannot be a serious business without any investment. It doesn't work because you cannot be everything at the same time. You cannot be a bookkeeper and a perfect marketing, an excellent marketing person and a SEO person, and then a copywriter at the same time. And your personal Absolutely. Motivator and your guide and your everything, right?
Everything. And there are so many things. And it took me a long time to realize, because I thought it was all interesting, but I don't have a background in business. And so I was just a sponge and I was soaking everything in. And part of it was exciting and a lot of it was overwhelming. And then now 4 years in, I am so grateful for an incredible team. I am a creative. I actually love the copywriting. I love writing blogs. I love creating content for Instagram. I love organizing and developed, you know, the method. And I really like training organizers in my method, but all the other things that, and at the beginning, you know, you do end up wearing a lot of hats because there's no way to have a budget to hire 10 people to do all the things, yeah. But, finding a few key players who love your business and who are really good at what they do and letting them do that, it not only relieved, that burden from me, but it helped my business to grow in a much better, quicker, and more responsible way than if I was trying to do everything, because it's just impossible, like you said.
Yeah, it is. You are coming from a family of entrepreneurs. How well were you trained being an entrepreneur from them? Because some people say, oh, I have never had contact with entrepreneurs before. What is it that I need? And what are the skills? So did they bring something, or were you educated in certain things that you didn't even know you had? Or did you have to do
yes
everything
and no.
yourself?
Yes and no. As far as like business acumen and business know-how, no, I was not trained in anything. Mm-hmm. One thing I would recommend for those who are starting their entrepreneurial journey is to find great education, just like this podcast or books or whatever it may be, because for so long I thought I was all alone. I thought I was alone as an entrepreneur, or I felt alone. Like no one could possibly have gone through this, as a small business owner or as a professional home organizer. And the more that I've learned and the more education I've gained is that this wheel has been invented 100 million times and I am not the first person to experience it. And so there's so much to be learned from the information that's out there. There's no need to reinvent the wheel or to feel alone in this. As far as what I actually gained and learned from my family, I think more than anything is just a mindset of grit and perseverance and resilience and hustle. And as you try something and it doesn't work, you think about what did work and how you can change it the next time around. Looking at every failure as a lesson learned and then trying again and picking yourself up. And I think that those are skills I learned throughout my lifetime. And I think is invaluable as an entrepreneur, because you fail 100 times for every success, but the more failures, you just get closer and closer to your goal and a lesson learned. One time I didn't send contracts out to clients for the longest time. And then we had a time where I should have collected a deposit and we ended up losing some money. So that's when we got a contract in place. And just every step along the way, mm-hmm. I didn't go into it from day one knowing how to run a business and all the things I needed, but I acquired them. And I think that it's the grit and the hustle and that, mm-hmm. that attitude of perseverance that I do have to thank my family for. So
I wanted to ask, who is the person that you're actually your go-to person when you had a bad day, when you had that failure? Because you cannot also be your motivator all the time, right? So is it also your family, or do you have also a coach that you go to, or like an external person?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'll start where I am now and then go back. Okay. I have a partner right now and we've started consulting services for professional organizers. So we actually coach other organizers.
Oh, great. And
this partner has invested that one of the first things that she has invested in through the entire course of her owning her business is really good business coaches. Mm-hmm. That's something I wish I would have had the foresight to invest in early on, because I think there is so much value in it. And I'm so grateful that I am at a point where I get to provide those services to other organizers. I didn't. It was a lonely road the first couple years. And I think that's why it took me a lot of, you know, podcasts and reading to realize that I wasn't alone. I wish I would have gone a different route. After I was in business for 2 years, I hired a CEO, and we were basically partners in 2022 and 2023. And that was a wonderful experience to have a partner. She is incredibly smart, incredibly well-versed in the startup world and knew what startup businesses were like and very entrepreneurial. And we balanced each other really well, I being the creative and she more of the implementer. And so that was a fantastic time for me. I felt like she was my partner and also my business coach for a season. And now we have since parted ways and she's doing her own thing. And I'm back to being sole owner and CEO of my business. But it was, I think at this point, and then now I'm partnering with someone else. So I feel like the last 2.5 years, I have had someone to lean on who has incredible business knowledge, but those first 2 years were pretty lonely because I didn't know where to turn and didn't know that business coaching was really a thing, I guess. So
that is interesting because for a long time, I was not sure, because it's a big word, business coaching, right? It could be anything.
Right.
But actually what it does, what is entrepreneurs to guide you from the very beginning, because let's face it, business is logical, is very logical. There's things you need to do. Every single business needs to do this. You need to talk about your positioning, your target group, your marketing, like all of these things. And a good business coach that also knows your industry can really support you in being quick and so much faster than, you know, if you do it all by yourself, because you need to learn. And that learning curve is long if you don't have anyone. And if you don't ask the right questions, you maybe will never get to that point.
Absolutely. It really is. And I think I was just talking this last week with a bunch of organizers at a retreat I went to. And a lot of people are interested in my story because my business grew very, very quickly, way beyond, I think, the industry standards. And from the outside, I think the story looks like this wild overnight success. But the truth is, yes, I was getting clients and it was an interesting market where I lived. My Instagram blew up because everyone was stuck inside their homes and wanted to not go crazy. And so I was sharing certain content on Instagram that really resonated with people where they were. Yeah. And I was getting 90% of my clients were coming from Instagram.
Wow.
Huge percentage. And it's not the norm. And it's not that way anymore. Now it's more, you know, a balance between Google and repeat clients and referrals. And but for a while it was all through Instagram. And I had an amazing team because these amazing women came to me organically. So there were these things that were working really great. You know, I had a ton of clients. Things were just moving so, so quickly. I had a really big team. But because I hadn't invested in a business coach and didn't understand, like you were saying, those things that every business needs to have, I didn't have great processes set up on my back end. I wasn't prepared for growth. In all ways, the businesses need to be prepared. And so the back end of my business, even though everything looked really beautiful on Instagram and clients were happy, everything just looked like a complete mess behind the scenes because I wasn't running a business and it took a long time to bring my processes up to speed. And so I think there needs to be both. And even if business isn't growing at the pace you want it to, setting your business up for success so that it can scale is something that I had to learn the hard way. Cause I kind of had to revert. I don't know. It was just a roller coaster instead of a continual climb, if that makes sense.
Yeah, completely. And what was your biggest, like the biggest challenge you actually had to go through, if I may ask? Maybe just one that you want to share as well. But, you know, people sometimes when they look in the past, they say this was the ultimate biggest challenge that I had to fight through.
That's a great question. I think there are a lot. I think for me, the biggest one was, I'll talk about two: mindset shift and then and people. So I think I started organizing, not think, I started this organizing business because, you know, my husband had lost his job and I knew I had this one unique skill that I felt I could offer the world that was something I had been good at my entire life. And I loved organizing. Shifting my mindset from doing something I loved to this is a real business and I need to learn how to run a real business. And this isn't a, I call it a jobby, a job that's a hobby. This is not a jobby. This is actually a real business that is providing real value in the lives of my clients. And then also real monetary value in the lives of those who are also working for me. A lot of people are relying on this income. That mindset shift was a challenge because, stepping into that CEO role and owning it is a hurdle I've had to go through. And then also,
but what happened, if I may ask, what happened that this shift actually happened in your head?
Well, I think, so I've just stepped into the CEO role again, just in the last 6 months. Mm-hmm. And I think for a long time, I did not feel totally confident. I didn't know how, because of the awareness, I didn't know how to talk about what I was doing. And so people would ask me what I did, and instead of saying, I'm a CEO of a company, or I'm an entrepreneur, I would kind of under my breath say, I'm a professional organizer, and felt like that was a role that was less than, because, you know, we're the help sometimes, it feels like. Mm-hmm. Instead of feeling, I don't think proud is the right word. I'm struggling to find
confident in that role, right? To be
confident, like, yes.
That's what I am.
Yes. And I think, and as the confidence grew, it's amazing how that actually resulted in more sales too. Because as I saw the value, I mean, I always saw the value, but as I recognized that, yes, what I am doing is incredibly valuable and adding value to these other industries and to these homes that we are in, that allowed me to sell it better. I am not a salesperson. I do not have a background in sales. And yet when I get on the phone with a client, my close rate is very, very high, because I now through time have been able to really hone in, and I really believe in the service I'm offering. I believe that it changes lives. I believe that it changes the way people live in their homes. I believe that it has so much value, and it's more than just, it's not just tidying up. It's changing the way people can function and live in their space. Confidence is how I overcame that one. Another hardship is initially people would just come to me and say, can I work for you? I heard about you through a friend. And we had this great group of people who were really wonderful. But as my business grew and the expectations grew and the need to be very professional grew, it wasn't a fit any longer with some of the people who were with me from the beginning. And I know that's normal for a lot of startups, but I had become so personally attached to a lot of the people who worked for me that that was really hard to kind of separate out. This is a business relationship that isn't working anymore. Some of them didn't have a great influence on the company and weren't good for the company. And when we parted ways, the company, Reset Your Nest, was so much better off once they were gone. Mm-hmm. But that was really challenging for me at the time because I was personally invested. And so I think I still very, very personally love every single person who works for me, but I've been able to set better boundaries between this is a working relationship and these are the standards of this company and these are the values that we hold strong to. And if you're not upholding the values and meeting the standards, then that relationship needs to change. So that was a hard thing for me to learn, that level of professionalism.
Yeah, I understand that. Especially when you love your company so much, you bring in people that you love.
Mm-hmm.
And then just, they're not bad people, right?
Right.
And nothing changed there, but the company is in a different position.
Yes.
Yeah, I totally understand. So let's talk facts and figures maybe quickly. So how big is your company? How many people and how many clients do you serve?
Okay. Yeah. So when I brought on my CEO, we were at a time of the reason why I brought her on is we had a shared vision to grow Reset Your Nest to be a national company. Mm-hmm. So at one point we were very large. We opened up a bunch of locations across the country, realized over the course of those 2 years that it is very challenging to replicate what you've done in one region, and every market is very different. And that's why we decided to separate part ways, that after 2 years of really running at this beautiful vision, that it just wasn't going to happen. So now I am in Utah, which is the state of Utah. We basically have two primary teams. One team spans like a geographic region of about 3 hours by car. Mm-hmm. And we have about 30 organizers on my team. So they're employees. Mm-hmm. They're very part-time and just work hourly. And then there's a small city in the south of Utah that's about 4 hours south of me. And we have a team of four that work mm-hmm. down there.
Mm-hmm.
And we try and do as many jobs as we can. It varies. We have a warehouse where we keep product. We have a large van that we take on our jobs. We offer a few different services. Right now, it's summer is approaching and we have a lot of big concierge moves coming up where we take care of everything related to the move and get a client packed up and then unpacked and moved in their new home. We offer decluttering services. On my team, I have a Marie Kondo master. And so we will send her out with one other person to just focus on decluttering with a client. And then what our main service is, what we have our team for, is we'll just take any one individual space. And in one day we go in, we take everything out of a space. We completely organize it. We design the space ahead of time. So we come in with all the bins. We don't leave to go shopping. And at the end of the day, the space is completely transformed with labels and bins. And we determine the size of the team based on knowing that we have a one-day time frame to get the entire project done. The goal is to send at least one team out a day. My real goal is to send two teams out a day plus a decluttering team out every day, but we're not quite there yet.
So if you send out a team, are they doing like one room or are they doing like a complete house, or what's the size of a project?
Yeah. So we have clients who want both. So for example, this week we are doing a complete house. Mm-hmm. So we have a team going out every single day. Usually for a complete house, it takes about 3 or 4 days and we send a larger team. And then there are always those clients who want their garage organized or just their pantry and kitchen organized. And so depending on what the client wants, we've never done a whole house move in just one day. So those are usually over the span of a week is what we usually give them. But yeah, we hope to send, our goal is to send two or three teams out a day. Right now it's a good week is one or two teams. Cool. So we're working on building our client base. At this point we have serviced, it's tricky because we had so many locations last year, but I think our numbers are close to 1,000 clients at this point that we have serviced over the last 4 years.
That's amazing.
And we have done a lot of spaces. I'm trying to remember what other numbers you would like.
So I would want to know, is it one-time clients or do you usually, are clients coming back? Because what we are trying to figure out here, how can you make the PO business a more sustainable business, right? Not just having a client once and then yes. you have to go and do cold acquisition again, kind of. But yes. you want to move a client into a long-term client.
Yes.
So how do you have that, or what is the typical? Yeah.
I'm glad you asked that. So I think this is something Stephanie, my current partner in our consulting business or coaching business, has been a beautiful example of, is really tapping into the best resource we have, which is the clients who have already come to us, because that client acquisition is really challenging. I really don't think the majority of our ideal clients are even on Instagram. So only relying on that as a, you know, a place for marketing is not very farsighted. I believe, so we just launched in December our membership services and have really, really enjoyed those. So that's a very direct way that we have been able to tap into clients who, I mean, my mindset always before was, well, we come in, this is an investment, we completely transform your space. So we shouldn't have to come in and do it ever again, because we just created a system for you. But what we're finding is that kids, spouses, life changes, whatever it is, things do need to be refreshed and reset. And it will never look like that initial investment, but there's a lot of value that can be provided for clients who just need, they want their investment to last. And so we have clients set up on like an automatic payment plan for just monthly refreshes. We also have a membership program for clients who want their whole house done at one time, but that investment feels like a lot. And so they can pay a certain amount monthly, and we come in and just break down and do small spaces once a month. And then the reason why we developed this is because what we had looked at was our numbers, and truly our repeat client rate is very, very high. And I even tell this to my clients, the initial consultation is, you know, let's start small. Let's start with one space that is your biggest pain point. And I promise you that it will be so life-changing, or, and I'm confident that you will come back for more. And, you know, we have all the time in the world and we can continue to do your home. And I think delivering superior service at the beginning and letting the client know that, that you know that they will want to come back for more, you're setting that expectation up. And I've really found past clients, whenever things get slow, the first thing we do is reach out to past clients, give them a special offer, check in on them, have a genuine relationship with them. So whether it's through refreshes or different spaces that you haven't done before, yes, 100% yes. Repeat clients are the best way to, and it's really nice to be able to anticipate just a few jobs every month that are recurring. So,
and what do you need for that? Right. A good CRM system.
Yes, a good CRM.
So it should not be just an Excel spreadsheet that, you know, maybe in the very beginning, but as soon as you have more clients, you want to write down what you did with them so that when you reach out, you have all the details and then you can ask specific questions, because clients want to feel special, right?
Absolutely.
They don't just want to be like, oh, hello. This is like the 3 months after standard email that you get from us, but you want details as well. So you have a special CRM system as well in place?
Yes. One of the many changes we've been through, the first 2 years when my business was a mess and everything was growing on one side, I was using a notepad and paper and pen. And then we switched over to HubSpot, which was a very robust, but very expensive CRM. And so just this year, we transitioned to Dubsado is the CRM that we are using. And I hired, someone here in the States, she works remotely. She helps people set up their CRMs. She was invaluable.
It's Amber.
It's Amber.
I know her, of course.
Okay. She's phenomenal and really has helped us create a fantastic system. I know there are a lot of CRMs out there. I've heard that HoneyBook and Jobber are really great for a lot of organizers. What I love about Dubsado is not only what you were saying of being able to really track and remember details about clients, but I love how it looks client facing. When clients are hiring Reset Your Nest, I want them to feel like we are I mean, they're paying a premium price, but for a premium service and a premium just an experience. And I want them to feel that level of beauty and professionalism. And I think having a good CRM that is beautiful client facing helps my company show up in a way that reflects the quality of work that we do in their homes. And so yes, having a CRM, that's one of the things I wish I would have invested in earlier, because our team is not very tech savvy. I was the leader of the non-technical team.
Okay.
But it's been a big learning curve for us to become familiar with it and get used to it, but it has been really fantastic. And so I wish I would have done that sooner.
I think I have to investigate that, because every system you said we don't have in Europe, in Germany.
Okay.
So I think I have to investigate which CRM system, especially client facing, would be something that we could offer to our POs as well, because most really use Excel.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is interesting. And I wonder, that's so frustrating, because I really have loved Dubsado. I will be
maybe thinking, I can check if they can expand to Europe. Let's see.
I know. And Amber would be a great resource too. I wonder if
I'll talk to her again. Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah. So looking into the future, what would you say this is what Reset Your Nest should look like in like 5 years, 10 years, or, you know, further along the future even?
Yeah, I love that question, especially this has been such a time of transition for Reset Your Nest the last 6 months, this last week when I went on this incredible retreat with other professional organizers was the first time that I had a moment to think, oh, like we did it. We've reestablished our company. And so what is on the horizon? I would like to continue to provide just premium service in my region with the best team in the country and have them be working as much as they want to work. 34 organizers is a lot of people to manage, and having that supply and demand come together perfectly is very challenging, to have enough jobs to continually get the clients. And so having a really good balance, especially through, like you said, having a lot more memberships so we can anticipate the clients we'll have each month, and be able to really predict our revenue and just have things feel consistent, is really my biggest goal. I have some personal sub goals. I love organizing product and sustainability, and would love to play a part in helping to create and design products that are aesthetic and sustainable. I know a lot of progress has been made just in the last couple of years with some beautiful product lines, but that's something that interests me personally. And another thing, and this isn't a very good business goal, but those first 2 years, because of the grit and hustle and the drive, and growing so quickly, I quickly lost sight of the importance of everything else in my life. My personal health, my 4 kids who I love and are still living at home and at a really fun age, my relationship with my spouse, everything took a backseat to growing my business. And so for me, a successful business in 5 years does look like one that is consistent and is making a good revenue and have great people who work for me. But it also, those personal goals of having balance and sleep and physical health and connecting with my children every day, those to me are just as important. And so I include that now as, you know, that's a business goal, is to not get so wrapped up in the growth that I neglect the other things. So,
but you know what? Without your personal health and well-being, your company cannot exist. So you said maybe that's not a good business goal. That is the ultimate business goal, because you are the face of the company. If you are not there, if your vision is not there, your spirit, your whatever, your company simply cannot move further, right?
Absolutely. Yes. And I think I I felt like a hamster on a wheel for so long, and I was so excited, so many more clients and things are going so well. And I reached that point of burnout without realizing, because it was all exciting and it was all in the name of growth and success. And I think I've matured in that way where, I've realized that might be able to exist for a short time, but it is not sustainable. And it's not, if I want to have a business that is around in 5 years and in 10 years and continuing to serve people and continuing to employ people, it has to be a part of it. So yeah, I agree.
But what is your, as a person, or maybe also then in your company, what is your USP? Why do you think your company grew so quickly, so fast? What is that small thing that is different between you and other companies? Also maybe like where people are employed, you know, multi-people companies, multi-person companies. So what would you say? What's the difference?
Well, I'll first talk about one thing that I do think is consistent, just having been with a lot of professional organizers this past week. I do think the industry of professional organizing attracts a very unique type of person. Mm-hmm. A lot of us are type A personalities. We obviously like things being organized. We like systems, but also there's this element of we are willing to go into people's homes, and I think we just have some of the biggest hearts. We genuinely want to help other people and their lives. So I'm not saying that makes me any different. I think that's a common denominator with a lot of professional organizers. I do think some things that helped differentiate me were my priority on aesthetic and belief that function number one priority, but it can also be beautiful, and how that can enhance the ability to keep systems in place when it's beautiful, and just the end experience for the client. So I think aesthetic was a differentiator. I also feel like personally, one thing I did was I didn't want to be taken advantage of, but I also have gone into every opportunity with a spirit of generosity and believing that truly, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats, and I am going to be open and share with others and not compare my success to others. So being generous with sharing knowledge, I think that really helped me to grow on Instagram, is I wasn't trying to hold anything close. If someone wanted to know how to organize their space, I was going to share everything I knew, because that maybe wasn't my client anyway. Yeah. And the people
thank you. That's what I'm saying. Yay.
Yeah. The DIYers, those are not your clients. They're going to do it on their own, but you will create trust and rapport with people on Instagram. And then also with other organizers, I really tried to stay in my own line, create my own content. I stayed true to the things that I knew I was good at. And I know we can learn a lot from each other, but I also really tried to not compare myself to anyone else and find that confidence that we were talking about and what I uniquely could bring to the industry. And I think it helped me to shine in the way that only I could, because it's a very personal thing to go into someone's home. And so I think that has helped my success, is that people, I think, felt connected to me and wanted me in their homes because they felt like I was their friend who was sharing them advice on Instagram. And so it was a helpful way to begin. So I think those are some of the things that helped me. I just learned to always say yes. Even like reaching out to me, I was so flattered and honored, but I love saying yes. I love opportunities to speak and connect with anyone, anywhere. Okay. And it always, I think that positive energy always comes back in a great way. You might not see it for a while, but it always does. So.
And you don't know what door will open. What door is after that door, right? You never know. And if you say too many times no, maybe you are missing out on stuff.
Absolutely. Yep.
I mean, always, as we said, in the balance of you're not, you know, you shouldn't push yourself across the border and cannot be you know, not that, of course, but.
Right. You can't say yes to everything, but I think being generous. Yeah. I mean, one of my favorite examples is Shira Gill has a beautiful book out called Organized Living, where she talks about, she highlights organizers from around the world. And I was selected for that book.
Oh, wow.
But it was so interesting. The way Shira found out about me was from a client who I had been extra generous with and had promoted. She had a different small business in a different industry, and I had promoted her business. It was just an interesting series of events. And it was just one of those things where I felt so honored and lucky that I got the attention of and had that amazing opportunity, because it was very early on in my business that I was highlighted in the book, even though it just got released last year. And yeah, it just goes to show that awesome. Being kind and generous with everyone you meet really will pay off eventually. So
nothing further to add. I see it exactly the same way. My last question would be, what advice would you give German POs? And, you know, we are still not as far advanced in the market as you guys are. What would you give them as an advice when they start their business, or they are already in for 2 years and they're frustrated and, you know, the market is not growing as much as they want? What would you tell them to do, or how to look at things?
I think my advice would be the same to professional organizers truly anywhere, which is, and I already touched on this, but I believe with every part of me that what the service we are providing is so, so important, and it has real value. And so even if things might be slow, and even if it might feel like you are fighting an uphill battle because no one knows what we do and we have to explain it to every single person we come in contact with, I believe that showing up with perseverance and confidence and continuing to educate people, I think we're going to get there. I really believe that this professional organizing industry will someday be as mainstream as an interior designer. And I hope even more so that we're the standard for when people move into a new space, that they get the support they need to set up their home with systems, and that when they go through life transitions, you know, having a baby or becoming empty nesters or whatever it is, that this is a service that feels like we all deserve it, because we do. And so I think just owning your value and not, it can feel really discouraging, but getting, whether it's investing in coaching or whether it's, you know, spending an obscene amount of time getting out of your comfort zone. I'm an introvert. And so reaching out to people and going to lunch with home builders and interior designers is actually not my idea of fun, but getting myself out of my comfort zone, because I know that is a way to build relationships and get repeat clients or continue clients coming in. I think confidence and don't give up, if I was going to sum it up, but I think we all feel like we're climbing that uphill battle. And in the United States right now, you know, the economy is in a unique place. And I think a lot of organizers have felt things slow down, even those who were busy before, and we're always having to innovate and come up with whether they're new services or new ways to generate leads. I think that's the name of any business, but especially this business, where we just have to continually be creative and not get discouraged, because there's solidarity in knowing that there are all of us across the world, which I love that, you know, struggling to make these businesses work, but they really do, and they provide a lot of value. So that perfect. Would be my advice.
That's a perfect ending, I would say. Is there anything you would want to add?
No, you've just been lovely. I hope that was helpful, and I'm so excited to be connected now with organizers across
Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. Actually, no, also Luxembourg and Liechtenstein.
Amazing.
So everything German speaking. And thank you so much. Beautiful. It was amazing to hear that we are on a good way, because what you said is exactly what we feel. And sometimes we're just thrown back by the amount of work that we have, but it's good to hear that we are actually on the right path. So
it sounds like it. It sounds amazing. The community that you've already created just sounds incredible. So hats off to you.
We will get you. We will tell you how this is going to go further, and hopefully you will be proud as well with us.
Yes, it sounds amazing.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Das war's auch schon für heute. Danke, dass du dabei warst. Wir freuen uns auf die nächste geordnete Runde mit dir. Happy Days, deine Verena.